Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Earlier this week on our visit to KGOU in Norman, Oklahoma, we took a drive to the Chickasaw Cultural Center in Sulphur, in the heart of Chickasaw Nation. Now, this is one of several Native tribes who came here in the mid-1800s after a devastating forced march from their homelands. The Chickasaw now have a thriving community with their own government and citizenship, several successful casinos, a medical center, and a chocolate factory. In 2010, they built the cultural center and are now moving to restore their language.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. We're with NPR Here and Now.
Robin, glad to meet you.
We met up with tribal leaders wearing business suits and crossed the windswept, stunningly beautiful 109-acre campus with Josh Hinson, the now 38-year-old, who actually grew up in Texas. He reflected on how the Chickasaw are just one of 38 federally recognized tribes in Oklahoma.
Majority of whom are not from here. I mean, we got removed here.
Well, this was the Trail of Tears, right? The forced march.
Right, yeah. Beginning with the Indian Removal Act. But our first removal party was June of 1837. Some of my maternal ancestors were in that party. So they left Tupelo, Mississippi. In June, they arrived at the Mississippi River, crossed the river, leaving the homelands on the 4th of July, 1837. Kind of ironic. So every tribe has their own experience with removal.
Different. Yeah, here we go into the cultural center. Beautiful building.
We may leave our home is behind, but not our spirit.
With its large glass windows and earth-tone wood and stone, entering the center feels like descending right into the earth and back in time. There are audio and video exhibits of Chickasaw hunting, fishing, a spiritual forest, and interactive language stations.
In the beginning, there were only two worlds.
These stations, they're labeled Let's Speak Chickasaw. If you want to say, you know, river cane or something, you touch it.
Uski, river cane, oksi, hofanti, takchali, abokshi, apotaka. River cane grow on the river bank.
And there's their shell, rattle, clay, fan, different words.
You pick one like fire pot or whatever.
Yeah, fire pot. They carried the fire pot.
So then you can speak into the microphone like...
Chomak, tobacco.
Let me try this one. Chomak, chomak.
So it tells you, it plays it back and you get to hear yourself.
Chomak at Ayokpanchi Ishtalika. Tobacco is used for ceremonies.
In 1992, the Linguistic Society of America sounded the alarm on languages on the verge of extinction and began documenting them. But Josh wanted to do more. He wanted to teach the language that, as a child growing up in Texas, he didn't even speak. I asked him why.
I started learning the language when my oldest biological son was born around 2000. I just felt like as we were, you know, going through the process to get him enrolled as a citizen with the tribe, I just felt like that growing up, I didn't experience what tribal citizens, you know, in our core areas experience. I knew family history, I knew family stories, but I didn't really know what it meant, like, to culturally be a Chickasaw. I wanted to give something to him that I didn't have, and I thought the language was the way to do that. My mother's side is Chickasaw and Choctaw. My dad's side's Creek and Cherokee.
And so why the Chickasaw as opposed to the others?
I descend from like 11 generations of Chickasaw women. We're matrilineal, and in the traditional way, you get your clan and your house from your mother. Mm-hmm. And there's relatively few citizens today that know their clan and know their house. So for me to go with any other tribe would be almost immoral. I couldn't be anything but a Chickasaw. And I started coming back during the summers to play ball and meet with speakers. And
stickball comes from the...
Yeah, our version of stickball, yeah. Not like Brooklyn stickball. So started playing ball and learning how to sing ceremonial songs and so forth. And then a year or two later, we moved here. So I had access every day to native speakers.
But how many are there now?
Less than 50. Our youngest were born in the late 40s, and our oldest speakers were born in the 20s.
Now, many linguists think that it's technology that's killing language. Josh thought it could be the savior. He created an app and is working on a Rosetta program for the Chickasaw Nation, which is spread around the world.
So we're all connected. If we're trying to reach young folks and people at large that live outside of Oklahoma, what better way to do that, right, than social media, apps, Rosetta Stone, anything we can think of to bring language to them. So if you're Chickasaw, stationed in Okinawa, you can still use the power of the internet.
I got my iPhone here.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
All right. You go to chickasaw.net/Anompa.
What's Anompa?
It means language. Mm. You select the menu. Let's say we want to do greeting phrases. So, do you speak Chickasaw?
Chickasaw-nompa is Anompalita.
That's native speaker Jerry Imatachi. I am Chickasaw.
Chickasaw-saya.
It's Joanne Ellis, another native speaker. It's going to rain.
Ombachi.
That's Jerry Imatachi again. We want what he has. And so I think, we value all of our elders, and we value in particular our native speakers. They're treasured people. They're like rock stars to us. Whatever they need, we're going to take care of it. And in turn, they help us become better speakers. It's pretty cool.
In a meeting room, we sat down with native speakers Jerry Imatachi, who's in his 70s, and Hannah Pittman, who'll have you know she's a little younger. At one time, Native American children were forced into government boarding schools, their native language banned. In the 1940s, Hannah and Jerry spoke only Chickasaw until they went to public schools, but their native language wasn't exactly banned.
We were asked not to get in groups and speak our language because that was rude to other people. That, in a way, forced all of us to learn to speak the English language.
We were always neighbors, and we always say we played in Chickasaw, you know.
So, Jerry, what was your thinking over the decades? Did you feel the Chickasaw language slipping away?
Yes, I did. I was gradually losing, and even today, a lot of words are beginning to come back to me since I've been involved in this program. You know.
Like what?
The word play, chikoshkomo.
I was reading some reporting. It's not just words, it's phrases. And one was, we used to gather together regularly a long time ago.
Oh, pilat mashlekat ilote bayasha minato.
That means we used to live in a place together a long time ago.
Together.
One word that carries all that information.
We used to meet there and play together, you know. This is my life. This is my passion to work with other people, trying to get younger kids involved in learning our language to keep it alive.
At the beginning, when I was asked to be involved in the language, I said no. It wasn't to be shared.
It was what? It was too sacred, too special to be shared?
I guess I would say that. I always believe that if you're going to learn Chickasaw, you have to learn it in the home. Your parents have to speak it. And then I said yes.
Why?
Well, I guess it finally came to my census that, you know, it needed to be shared.
And now I am the last one left in my family.
You know, it's a part of our lives. It's in my heart, you know. Today, especially, you know, that I've come to realize that's my identity. I am Chickasaw. And I am Chickasaw in my soul, in my heart, you know. That, I mean, it's deep within.
We left Jerry, Hannah, and Josh sharing a joke. Now, it's a long story about squirrels, but it showed how some things are best expressed in Chickasaw and how Native nations share words. In Chickasaw, the word ashunka means kiss, but it means smoking in Choctaw, causing some confusion in an exchange Hannah had with a Choctaw man.
So I asked him if he wanted a ashunka. So I was asking him if he wanted to smoke. He turned around and looked at me like this and turned his head back around and wouldn't look at me anymore through the whole trip.
Because he thought, you said you want to get off and have a kiss.
Yeah, I want to get off and have a kiss in Chickasaw, because I was referring to Choctaw language.
In Chickasaw Nation, we believe that God gave us this language to communicate with one another and communicate with our Creator, and it's our obligation to make sure it stays alive, that it's not a words on a page, but it's in our mouths.
This is the second time today it's sacred.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We believe that that's the case. And some families, there's one native speaker in particular who had a prophecy in her family that when the last speaker passed away, the world would end. And I'm looking forward to my afterlife, but I really like living right now. So we want to keep it going.
This is a Chickasaw hymn, which you can hear at the Chickasaw Cultural Center in Sulphur, Oklahoma. And if you're lucky, you'll meet Josh Hinson, director of the Chickasaw Nation's Department of Chickasaw Language, and tribal elders like Hannah Pittman and Jerry Imatachi. We'll have pictures of all at hearandnow.org.